Hi, I'm John O'Connor. I've been working as your Attorney General for 10 months since Governor Stitt appointed me in July of 2021, protecting public safety in Oklahoma, protecting and preserving our rights and our liberties and our freedoms from the federal government. I wanted to tell you just 2 seconds about my faith journey. I was raised in a home where there was strong faith and strong family values, but I didn't really make those values and that faith my own until I was midway through college at Oklahoma State University, when I decided that what the Bible says about Jesus is true, that what he says about himself is true. I decided to give my life to him, and that has colored everything I've done since then. I've been very blessed to have met Lucia, my wife of 43 years at Oklahoma State University. She has a very strong faith, and so I don't frankly know how marriages survive without a strong faith to unify them around which they can build their families. We're blessed that we're able to raise our kids in the faith, and that our 4 kids are following the Lord and are raising their children to follow the Lord. In the role as Attorney General, there are lots of big decisions, and I find that I wouldn't want to be in this job without being able to call on and rely on the wisdom from the Lord every day. I'm not saying that everybody has to believe a certain thing or be in a certain church or anything. I'm just telling you that the wisdom that I need in order to make decisions as Attorney General, I ask for from the Lord. So I ask that you pray for me as I serve in this role. Pray for our governor, pray for all of our state leaders, that we can provide the godly leadership that's not about promoting ourselves. It's not about advancing our careers. It's about serving you. It's about doing the right thing now and plant those seeds, that the harvest will be a good one for every person in the state of Oklahoma. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special evening here at Fairview Baptist Church, and we welcome all of our live stream audience as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know very well, if you followed our ministry here at Fairview, we have lived and enjoyed the exception to the rule. For the last 2,000 years, beginning with the martyrdom of Stephen, we've seen Christianity and Christians persecuted. Quite frankly, America is not the rule, but the exception. The last 245 years has we as believers been able to enjoy both civil and religious liberty. And the reason is that our founding fathers designed it that way. Beginning with the pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock and the great Puritan migration and the influence of Christianity, as it was Roger Williams that founded the state of Rhode Island. It was Pastor Thomas Hooker that founded the state of Connecticut. America has been exceptional. America has been different because Americans have understand the purpose of civil government in relationship to family government, self-government, and church government, and also, more importantly, the limitations of civil government. July the 4th, 1776, we had 13 British colonies that had done everything they could to resist incremental increases of tyranny over their lives. They begged and pleaded with Parliament and the King to respect their rights as British citizens. They weren't trying to not be British citizens. They just wanted their rights respected. And of course, the final act was the Olive Branch Petition of the Second Continental Congress, 1775. And of course, that was followed by the rejection of King George, and ultimately the next time Congress met, those 13 colonies declared independence and became 13 sovereign countries. Well, they worked together. Initially, they had to, for their common defense, as the King of England invaded, trying to bring them back under his tyrannical grip. They also worked for their general welfare. And over the course of the next 13 years, they functioned under just a handshake agreement and what was called the Articles of Confederation, which was our first constitution. Then in 1787, the idea was put forth that they needed to strengthen the Articles. They wound up tossing them. Whether that was right or wrong is another debate for another night. However, they gave us the Constitution. And understand that it was the states that created a limited general government and delegated few and defined powers they gave to the general government, not the other way around. See, we've been operating under this habit, because this is what we've been taught in school, that our rights don't come from God, our rights come from Congress and from the president. That is not true. The states created the general government and gave few and defined powers to the general government, reserving unto themselves the residuary mass of self-government, as Thomas Jefferson said. You know what's interesting when you think back about it is for the first 36 years of America's existence, through five presidents, what are called the founding era presidents, beginning with George Washington, going through James Monroe, through five different presidential administrations, those five presidents over 36 years issued a total of 15 executive orders and 10 presidential vetoes. They did not believe that they were elected to be king ruling over the people. 15 executive orders isn't even a good day for the vice president that's currently occupying the White House. We have never seen such an important need. We have always known the importance of the state governments. You know, I had wondered for years why Patrick Henry never wanted to go to Washington. Patrick Henry believed that the greatest job he could have was governor of the state of Virginia. I agree with him. The reality is the greatest defense against the federal overreach that we're all experiencing and groaning under right now is a strong governor and a strong attorney general. And that is the reason you see all of these super PAC ads trying to assassinate the character of the two gentlemen that currently fill those seats in the state of Oklahoma. Understand how important this upcoming election is. Having met John O'Connor recently, I was more than impressed, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing this tonight. But it's so critical that we that are freedom-loving, God-fearing conservatives that recognize there are only two genders and recognize that there is right and wrong, that truth is absolute, not subject for a vote of the majority. When we recognize how important this upcoming primary election and general election is, felt it was necessary to give you all a chance and our listening audience an opportunity to meet this man who I think is the strongest attorney general in these 50 United States. As I begin to introduce, please give a warm welcome to my co-pastor, Dan Fisher. And please give an even warmer welcome to Attorney General John O'Connor, his lovely wife, Lucia. Welcome. Thank you. John, we've got about an hour. We're going to cover a number of topics that are so critical. But we saw this introductory video as we began the night. Tell us just a little bit about your walk with the Lord Jesus. Tell us about your testimony, your walk with Christ over the years.
Yeah, well, I thank you all for being here, first of all, and I appreciate it. And at the end of that video, I asked for your prayers, and I solicit those. I need them on like a moment-by-moment basis. I grew up Catholic and still am. And so I had a great background, strong family, strong prayer, but I went to OSU, as I said. I went to college kind of really more committed to myself than Christ. And so through some leadership activities, there was a group that was going to put on a forum at Oklahoma State University for students. And they were looking at leadership, and they said, let's explore the moral and spiritual responsibilities of being a leader. And I was really drawn to that. But then they said, we're going to look for that teaching to the life and teachings of Jesus. And so it was through the portal of leadership that I was drawn in. And then I realized that what I had been doing, I felt like if everybody in church was as big a hypocrite as I was, then we were all faking it. And that, to me, was why I wasn't as drawn to church, because I knew my own heart.
Sure.
And so, at any rate, getting to know Jesus through the Bible, through my wife and some friends, and some of these teachers who've been involved with the National Prayer Breakfast, I realized that my objection was maybe to the layers that we put on top of Jesus, but not to the person of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so I gave my life to him, and Lucia and I have walked together for 43 years in marriage. Lucia's from Buffalo, Oklahoma, and we met at Oklahoma State. And so, but it's been, I can't imagine living life. I can't imagine being in the role of Attorney General. Frankly, my view as a practicing lawyer for 40 years was that if Jesus were a lawyer, he'd be the best lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He wouldn't be a B or C lawyer who then prayed the night before a hearing and then, you know, asked God to bail him out. That's Jesus says, you know, I mean, the Bible says if you do your work well, you'll do it for kings, and that we should do our work as unto the Lord.
Amen.
So as whether it's the practice of law or being your attorney general, that's my attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Paul introduced me a while ago. We met just a moment ago when you first got here.
Right.
Having served in the legislature myself while I was still a full-time pastor, I know what a burden and what a toll it can take on your family. Mm-hmm. And I also understand campaigning and what a job that is.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously your family is critical to what you're doing. And having known one of our previous attorney generals quite well, I understand somewhat the pressures. So tell us a little bit about your family. You were mentioning your wife. Some of it was in the video, and you might want to introduce her to the crowd.
Yeah. So Lucia, can you stand up, please? This is my wife.
This is Lucia.
So when I got out of law school, I wanted to run for political office and serve in the public. So, and Lucia pointed to a square on the carpet and said, when lightning strikes that square, you can run for office. And so it turns out, you know, she was right that the priorities in life, you know, have to be Christ, then being one with your wife or your spouse,
sure.
and then raising your kids so that they know you and they know you love them.
Yeah.
And I really, I don't see many instances or examples that I could follow of being in politics and being able to do those other things well.
Yeah.
And so it was really when our kids were out, married, and even having their own kids that we felt the freedom for me to do that. But I didn't know that this opportunity would ever come around because that was a number seven priority, and you can never put a number seven over a one, two, three, four, five, six.
That's good.
And so, but now that the kids were out and on their own, this could move up, and so the opportunity came along.
That's great. So you mentioned children. How many children do you have?
We have four kids.
Four children.
29 to 39, two girls, two boys.
Okay.
And then...
married or...
They're all married, and we have 10 grandkids.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And so we're fortunate. You know, they all love the Lord. Their wives and husbands love the Lord, and they're raising their kids, and they'll come run up to us and tell us a verse they've memorized, and that's really good.
Sure it is.
By the way, to go back, to backfill a little bit on the story, when after law school, Lucia and I went to Germany, and I studied law there in the German university system for a year, and we met a couple that was involved with the Navigators.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they're big into verse memory and organized discipleship around topics. And so we really, while we were in Europe, were discipled intensely for 11 months and backfilled the scripture that we didn't learn a lot as Catholics growing up. And so
that's good.
Then I felt like with that knowledge, we should come back and plant in our Catholic church and share that love of the scripture with the Catholic friends.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
General O'Connor, we've gotten to know you just a little bit, learn a little bit of your testimony.
Thank you.
Of course, what we are experiencing here in America, quite frankly, I believe has been by designed attacking of our education, where we now no longer even recognize what the Constitution is, says, or is supposed to do. Woodrow Wilson had made the statement before he was elected president. Of course, he was a famous progressive, but he said what one generation would resist but eventually accept, the next generation would accept it because their parents did,
right.
And every other successive generation would just assume it's always been that way.
Right.
Right now, we're operating as if we elect a man who makes decisions arbitrarily from his desk that affect 325 million people. No. And we don't even know what the Constitution actually says, and that states are supposed to be states, and the federal government really comes in times of war or to negotiate trade. But other than that, we're supposed to be able to, if we're conservative, we can be conservative.
Right.
Now, as our Attorney General, you're on the front line of defense. Tell me some of the battles that you're waging right now on behalf of the citizens of Oklahoma.
Yeah, so we're fortunate in that we have a really strong legislature right now.
Yeah.
And they've allocated some funds to the Attorney General's office to stand up for states' rights.
Good.
And it's amazing. But so in my 10 months of public service since the governor appointed me, we've sued the Biden administration 15 times.
Amen. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's good.
And I've also joined in 40 letters criticizing their various policy proposals. So an example, a recent example of a policy proposal is where the president came out through one of his agencies and said that they're going to withhold public school lunches for the kids unless the public school embraces the transgender agenda. And so, you know, every day I wake up, I look, and it's like, this is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, of course.
But it turns out it was just the dumbest thing since yesterday. And so I really feel like we're in a battle. You all know that we're in a battle, as Ephesians 6:10, right, talks about, the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a battle. There's a cultural battle going on. There's a deeper battle for the souls of our men and women. But there's a battle for the soul of the nation right now. And I feel like Oklahoma is the best positioned state in the United States to fight back. Now, Florida's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Iowa's governor did something today that sounded pretty good. But think about a state that voted red 77 counties twice.
Mm-hmm.
We're God-fearing people. We care about our neighbors. We are free market people. We're not socialists.
There you go. Good.
And we believe that the rights belong in we, the people, like you were talking about,
there,
Pastor, instead of the center of gravity being up in Washington. And so when you think about this, we can't give up hope, right? Nobody in this room, us three included, has the option of getting out of the fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
There is no option called quit, hit the sofa with a bag of chips. And so so you think about that. Well, you know, okay, I don't know if I can make this point clearly, but when Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also says in John 13:35, all men will know you're my disciples by how you love one another, right?
Yeah,
then you flip to John 17 and he prays, Jesus prays that we would be one like he and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Now, so if those of us in Oklahoma loved our neighbor as equals, as ourselves, just in this postage stamp of land called Oklahoma, we would have delegations from other states and nations coming here to study why our teen suicides are almost unmeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
Our teen pregnancies don't exist. Mm-hmm. We have every kid who has a meal to eat. No kid goes to bed food insecure.
Yeah.
We've got jobs. We take less federal support than any state in the union. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
If we had that vision that Oklahoma is where we plant the flag to start the turnaround fighting the cultural malaise that is sponsored by I don't like to call them progressive because I like progressive. I want to call them leftists.
Yeah.
Okay, so the leftist agenda is to break us down, make us dependent upon the government, have us be like sheep eating grass on the hill, and pretty soon they'll tell us there's less grass, right? Because those socialist economies always go bankrupt.
Yeah,
exactly right.
And so, so we're fighting, and if we just declared in this room that on our blocks, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and in our towns, and then it's contagious around the state, that Oklahoma was going to live the gospel, we would change the nation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good.
We got a couple of issues. Let's talk about a couple of critical issues.
Yeah. So Oklahoma is a very unique state because we obviously have a lot of tribes here, and that creates some tension sometimes.
Right.
And so the McGirt decision comes down, which really muddies up the water for us, and I'm sure you've been really struggling with that. And then the whole thing of balance between the tribes and their governing power and the state. And then you have an opponent who's been running some ads about you and about trying to make you obviously look bad. And so maybe we talk a little bit about where that funding is coming from. So give us kind of your opinion about the McGirt decision and how do we balance with the tribes and that whole scene.
And
I know you don't have a lot of time for that.
You guys just tell me when to shut up.
Okay, you're doing good.
Okay, so McGirt came down on top of a wounded relationship.
Right.
Because you remember the governor came in and wanted the tribes to move to the regional market in the exclusivity fees that they pay to the state of Oklahoma. And they refused to do that. They rejected that. And so there was litigation. So you've got that background of wounded relationship. Then McGirt comes along. McGirt was not, the tribes didn't look for McGirt. The state wasn't looking for McGirt.
Right.
That was just a criminal case that a lawyer got lucky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And McGirt's a criminal case where the courts basically said that the state of Oklahoma didn't have the jurisdiction to prosecute and convict a Native American.
Yeah.
And so so they decided that the Creek Nation had not been established, even though the state of Oklahoma had been formed, that they hadn't technically disestablished this one reservation. So then the Oklahoma court said, well, if that's applicable to the Creeks, it's applicable to five other tribes.
Wow.
45% of Oklahoma, the eastern 45%, and some swing south, 1.8 million Oklahomans, 80% of whom are not Native American, now live on six reservations. Okay?
Yeah.
So we're citizens of the United States. We're citizens of the state of Oklahoma, and now in the eastern half, is that east?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good. In the eastern 45%, we've got this weird situation of six different reservations on top of that.
Wow.
And there's no real pattern for that in the United States. We've all seen reservations over in New Mexico and Arizona where the federal government owns the land, holds it for the tribes. The people don't own the houses there. We did a different thing in Oklahoma. They gave these Indians an allotment of land, gave it to them, and they could keep it. They might have it today in their family, or they could sell it.
Sell it.
So we've grown up around Native Americans all over the place.
Sure.
And we love each other. We're friends. We're family. We don't have any. We didn't know we were supposed to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And then here goes the U.S. Supreme Court setting us back 75 years or 100 years.
Yeah.
So the McGirt decision came down, and so then the governor appointed me to be attorney general, and I tell him sometimes I feel like he dropped me between a cobra and a mongoose. I'm the chief legal officer for the state of Oklahoma and the top law enforcement officer of the state of Oklahoma, so I don't have the decision, I don't have a discretion as to not fight for the sovereignty of the state of Oklahoma.
There you go.
And the governor's doing the same thing. The U.S. Supreme Court in that decision dealt the tribes a royal flush.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so I've tried to reach out. You know, in 40 years in the practice of law, commercial litigation, business fights, 90% of the cases get settled.
Yeah.
So, you know, that means that the CEOs would rather fashion their own solution to the problem once they hear each other's side of the story. Then trust it to a judge who might have just heard, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of car wreck collision jury trials. Mm. And so I reached out to five of the six chiefs, and I met with four of them. There's one who won't meet with me and one I still need to reach out to. But so I'm trying to build that relationship. But right now they're sitting on the royal flush. And that's why, folks, we've had to take these cases up to the U.S. Supreme Court, because we have to take an axe to the stump of the tree that is their McGirt decision.
Right.
When they start feeling that maybe they're a little less secure than a royal flush, like maybe they have four cards, not five,
mm-hmm.
then they'll come to the table.
Yeah.
And we won a huge victory when the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed that it was not retroactive, that McGirt was not retroactive.
That's a good deal.
That would have opened tens of thousands of felony convictions in our history. That would have let thousands of people out of prison.
Yeah.
And so that was a huge victory, number one. Now we've asked them, and we just argued it on April 27. The federal government, the Biden administration, admits that they cannot protect everybody in eastern Oklahoma like we used to as a state. They're only prosecuting one in four felony referrals from law enforcement. Mm. That means three out of four felony cases are not being prosecuted in eastern Oklahoma. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The Biden administration says they can't keep eastern Oklahoma safe. And they said they anticipate a surge in crime in 2023 in eastern Oklahoma. Well, if you can't prosecute, crime goes up.
Mm-hmm.
AKA, let's defund the police and then be surprised.
Oh, yeah, that really fixes it.
That was really a great fix.
Yeah. So can Congress do anything about the original treaties, the original grants, and fix this McGirt thing?
Congress would be the best place to fix it, but one has to have the will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes that's, you know, that's the most rare commodity in the world.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of the McGirt thing is we are trying every case we take up there. We're trying to encroach upon the breadth of that McGirt decision and define what it means to set that reservation or those six reservations on top of an American state.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
I understand, ladies and gentlemen, what has happened is if you are in the tribal lands or a member of a tribe, you can be an Oklahoman when that's convenient. You can be a tribal member when that's convenient. And you can play one against the other and basically be under no real governing authority, depending on what is convenient. Now, as I understand, the tribes, obviously, Andy Jackson was wrong with the Trail of Tears. And what happened back in the early 1800s, coming to Oklahoma, what became five civilized tribes. But at that time, most of the tribes aligned with the Confederacy during the War for Independence. And the arrangements, as I understand it, if I'm wrong on this, then I will retract this. But the arrangements they had with the federal government were voided as they had sided with the Confederacy.
Right.
And then, as the AG mentioned, there was the Dawes Act. All of the Indian land was given to the Indians. After 20 years, they were able to sell it if they wanted to, which many of them did. So those reservations, they're not reservations. It's not tribal lands anymore. It's now been bought and sold by Oklahomans, and we have functioned as Oklahoma up until recently. And the thing that I've discovered when I ran for office years ago, and as any of us have watched the news media in the last 6 or 8 years, normally, whatever the news media and fact checkers is a wonderfully accurate barometer. Whatever they're telling me, I believe the opposite. And what you'll find out in these campaigns is whatever these dark money PACs, super PACs are running on commercials, generally the truth is the opposite.
That's exactly right.
And right now, these ads that you're seeing trying to take down what I believe is the strongest attorney general in the union are funded by the tribes because they don't like some of the positions that Governor Stitt and A.G. O'Connor are taking. So do your research on that and recognize that what you're hearing from the mainstream media, what you're hearing from these dark money ads likely is not the truth. Now, moving on to a subject I never thought we'd be talking about. I know this is incredibly controversial, and I know that you took a strong stand on this.
Right.
But it's actually required that if a baby is born with male genitalia, then his birth certificate must describe him as a male baby.
Right.
And if a female, likewise, is born as a female, then her birth certificate declares this is a female. This was not controversial until what, last week? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Now, recently you wrote a editorial that got a lot of publicity, but in the state of Oklahoma, I believe we have legally taken steps to where we do not have non-binary birth certificates.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, on the birth certificate, instead of saying sex or gender, it should just say equipment.
Yeah.
That's how I view it.
Yeah.
Well, so it goes back, you know, to, and this is one of the ads that you know, my opponent who's got, untold amounts of money. And so he sends out a card, even though I've sued President Biden 15 times and criticized him 40,000 times. He sends out a card that shows me looking in a mirror, and it's Biden.
No.
And then he sends out a card that says I'm for binary birth certificates. I've never had my hands on anything to do with birth certificates, except when I went to Stillwater and spoke, some parents came to me and said their daughters were afraid to go in their bathrooms at their schools because there was a transgender boy who wouldn't use the neutral bathroom. He went into the girls' bathroom. So I came back, and 2 days later, 3 days later, I fired off a letter to the superintendent saying there is no law, there is no case in Oklahoma that binds a public school to allow transgender kids from one sex to go into the bathrooms and locker rooms of the other sex. And so anyway, that's the binary birth certificate. The legislature took care of that. The governor took care of that. And it really shouldn't be a problem here. But I can tell you they're missing when you look at parents, the government getting involved in the parent-child relationship and the government schools.
Yes.
Right? We've got some problems. We have some great public schools in Oklahoma. We have some great public school teachers. But we have some schools where they have a definite agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are schools in Oklahoma not far from here that will ask elementary school kids about the pronoun they want to be called by.
Yeah.
Boy or girl.
In our community. Edmond's doing that this year.
Yeah. I joined, by the way, with the parents in Edmond against the school the mask discrimination.
Thank you.
And we won that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So,
well, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, understood that God had entrusted children to their parents. The parents were to raise their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Right.
And going back, the earliest, what we would now call, probably incorrectly, but public education, it was parents hiring the school marm, overseeing the curriculum.
Right.
Eventually, as you grew, parents would elect a school board to represent the parents and choose the curriculum. It's just been since the Johnson administration in the mid-60s that we have progressively gotten into this government-controlled education in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And now we see parents even listed as potential homeland terrorists if they go and object at a school board meeting.
I know, it's ridiculous. Never will you see the government act more quickly than when it's against parents. Remember when how the kids performed in school was directly related to the parental engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And now the federal schools, the government schools, that they don't want the parents engaged. They want to take our kids and teach them CRT you're a racist and you're an oppressor. They want to teach them that America exists to impose racism and keep it in place. The legislature did a great job and passed bills that banned the teaching of CRT in our schools and social emotional learning. So we're very fortunate right now that we've got strong leadership in the House and the Senate and in the governor's seat.
Yeah.
And even though there's sometimes it breaks down and it looks like schoolboys pulling each other's hair. but still, they end up with some really great results.
Can I say something that I know you don't mean in a derogatory way in any fashion, but you're saying government schools tells me pretty much everything I need to know about what you believe about parental rights and parental authority. And I want to thank you for that because your verbiage is exactly right. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dan and I were involved in an interesting approach, 6 years ago? In fact, our church led in this. We actually were going to use the 10th Amendment, and Matt Staber with Liberty Counsel was our attorney, and we were going to use the 10th Amendment to advance what was called the Protect Life and Marriage Act, to where if a doctor violated his Hippocratic Oath and intentionally killed one of his two patients, then the legislature, since it was the states that determine licensing standards for doctors, the Oklahoma legislature could jerk his license to practice medicine. Mm-hmm. We were going to attack Roe versus Wade through that strategy 6 years ago.
Right.
One of the little known facts, in fact, even as on top of this as we've been, and Dan and I have been engaged in this, really, we haven't paid proper homage. I talked to Linda Stewart, our friend at Crossroads Clinic. Of course, Crossroads is right downtown. They are still today saving lives because there are abortion-minded women that will travel out of state and use other means, and they have saved over 90 babies' lives so far this year. So Crossroads Clinic is still on the front lines. But I texted her. Actually, I got a call from Dick Bott. I hadn't talked to Dick in years. Called on Saturday. We visited a little bit about the abortion issue. I checked with Linda to find out if this was accurate. And in the state of Oklahoma, there are no abortion clinics operating at this point in time. It is against the law to abort a baby in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But it's still happening. But it's still happening. Planned Parenthood. They're shipping about
the state. But Planned Parenthood is working to bring their funding in to take women out of state.
Right.
And they're doing other things with pharmaceuticals and all kinds. So what can the AG do about that? Is there anything that our state can do?
Yeah, I have the honor of defending the legislation that was passed by the House and the Senate and signed by the governor.
Good.
So we're in that fight. In fact, in my first week in office, folks, when I gave my life to Christ, I started realizing and studying that and realized life begins at conception, right? He knit us together in our mother's womb. And the womb ought to be the most protected place in the world.
Safest place. Amen. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at any rate, so in my first week, they came to me and said, hey, do you want to join Mississippi in this effort to curtail abortion at that time and then overturn it eventually? And it took me like a nanosecond to say, yes, we're going to do that.
That's
and
good.
So life begins at conception, and we have two people involved once there's conception,
right?
Not just one person.
That's exactly right.
One of my proudest moments was when I saw a lawsuit entitled Planned Parenthood versus O'Connor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's good.
So that
that's
tells
good.
You, that tells you, yeah, there's we're going to fight, we're going to fight, we're going to fight, and we're going to defend this. And really, the battle, if the Supreme Court comes out with this decision, you realize 60 million Americans have not seen the light of day because of the Roe versus Wade decision.
Of course. Yeah.
And it was not the pinnacle of legal jurisprudence. The Roe versus Wade decision was a total political decision.
No, it was.
Put your finger in the wind.
Yeah.
And so it was. And it's an embarrassment, and it's a national sin, and we should ask God's forgiveness.
Mm.
There were, up to 5,900 abortions a year in Oklahoma, and we're now abortion free.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Right?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
But the battle really still rages on, and we need to take care of every woman who's in a crisis pregnancy.
Of course.
So that she doesn't feel isolated and broke and uninsured and alone. And so we don't need a court to tell us how to take care of that woman.
So we've got Crossroads and we've got the churches where we need to be engaged. Quite frankly, it begins with morality. God created us as sexual beings.
Yeah.
He created Adam as Adam and Eve as Eve and gave us this gift that he said to hold holy within the bonds of marriage. That was God's idea, God's design. Always works better when we do it God's way. But we do have now, because of morality, unwanted pregnancies. And that was the thing that Linda had, which is, golly, an oxymoron. Can you imagine saying that? Unwanted pregnancy. Uh-huh. Children are supposed to be a gift.
Right.
But Linda had expressed concern, and I don't know if there's anything that the state really can do. It must be something that the church is going to have to be more engaged in. But obviously, the federal government is over the postal system. And obviously, during the last 2 years, we saw situations where some individuals, in order to get things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, they had to use a mail order and do a online doctor visit and have it sent in. But there are abortions still happening in the state of Oklahoma. Women who are doing online medical visits.
Abortifacients.
And getting the drugs shipped to them, and they're able to take them, even though it's technically against the law.
Right.
Now, you're walking a tight rope there. Is there anything that the AG or the state can do that doesn't infringe on the rights of free people, but would help to end the murder of preborns still that's taking place?
Yeah, so let's back up for a second. The exceptions to our law that bans abortion, makes it criminal, and also creates civil penalties for the doctors, the nurses, and but not for the mother. But the exceptions are to save the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
And then also in cases of rape or incest, which are reported to the police.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we didn't want there to be a huge number of all of a sudden everybody's been raped and mm-hmm. been the victim of incest. And so, there are also medications that are contraceptive, sort of morning after pills,
right.
You know, that are not banned.
Right.
Those are pre-conception.
Right.
And I don't really know at this point what the policing mechanism would be ordering drugs. And because you don't really want to have people x-raying your UPS box.
Right. No, of course.
That's something that that's a little big brotherish.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so we've still got work to do as a church.
We've
got work to do as a church because it's illegal now, but some are still taking place. So
abortion is illegal,
amen.
But for those exceptions,
amen.
It's just that's a functioning police power kind of question. What can we do? We might be able to restrict advertising for that in our state as it hits our media markets.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to scare some of the trucks that deliver from certain places, but all they have to do is change the address,
and, sure,
right, of the sender.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got work to do.
Okay, so the governor appoints you initially. You kind of pull your name.
Right.
And then he comes back to you. First of all, what was that battle? And secondly, do you now regret having said, okay, I'm in, count on me? So tell us that story.
I absolutely regret it. I'm kidding. So my predecessor resigns. About 25 lawyers were probably in the mix. A recruiter called me, would you serve if the governor wants to appoint you? I said, yes, but I'm not going to campaign for it, which is what you do if you really want something.
Right.
And then a week later, I woke up and I knew I needed to call and pull my name because the governor would periodically call me for prayer and for thoughts on different appointments, et cetera. And I thought he's going to have thousands of people who want things from him. But you can't really grow people that you can ask for prayer on a confidential basis. And so I thought I could serve him better there. So I told the recruiter, pull my name, and then ranked the top three of the other lawyers that I thought would be good. But then hung up and said, Lord, if you want me in this job, you're going to have to do 100% of the lift.
Mm.
And I didn't call one person, and I didn't write any letters, and I didn't hint it, and I didn't say anything to the governor about it. I just, I only wanted to be in this job. It's a tough job.
Yes, it is.
And you get shot. Like, look, I told my wife 20 days ago, get ready for 40 days of character bombardment.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
What this campaign is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All of it lies.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, I only wanted to be in it if God appointed me. So then anyway, 6 weeks later, Lucy and I were driving through Oklahoma City. The governor texted me and said, any chance we could meet today? And so I said, yeah, I happen to be in Oklahoma City, but I have a full beard and I'm in shorts. So it wasn't going to be a formal meeting. Anyway, I met with him. He said, I thought he wanted me to help him pick between A and B, but he said, I know you pulled your name, but we've had people fasting and praying for weeks. And I've talked to political and legal advisors, and yours is the name that keeps coming up.
Hmm.
So would you do it? And I said, yes.
Hmm.
Because at that moment, you know, if God puts you somewhere, he equips you.
That's exactly right.
And so I felt, well, he must have equipped me.
Yeah.
And so what's been really freeing for me is to be in this role and to make decisions that are the right decision, not the political decision.
Mm.
And
that's good.
And it's really, really, I feel like I'm in the eye of a hurricane, and I'm told, I've never been in one, but I'm told that it's pretty peaceful in there.
Sure.
And so it's been pretty peaceful where we are. And we'd start every day with prayer and list our things and ask the Lord to give us wisdom all day
mm-hmm.
long. Before I walk into every meeting, I say, you know, Holy Spirit, give me the words here. Because he can, his a bad day for the Lord exceeds our wildest dreams.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, when you're just on mission for God and you're doing what he tells you to do, really the results are up to him, and mm-hmm. all you have to do is just do what's right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So in this campaign, we trust the Lord with the outcome. And the election's on June 28th, 2 weeks or so. And but, you know, we are working hard, meeting people. We're loving that.
Good.
And we We'll do our part, and then he controls the decision and the outcome.
Yeah, that's great.
Let me ask you, prior to your being appointed AG and now, of course, running for re-election, to what extent had you been active politically? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you and your wife voted, but, I mean, had you contributed to campaigns? What party have you contributed to before? And has there ever been any evidence that you might have contributed to one Joe Biden?
All right, if I had a $5 bill in my hand and anybody in this room said, give it to Joe Biden or I'm going to beat the crap out of you, you'd have to cut my hand off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then even on the ground, a hand would be sitting there with a clenched fist.
Okay? Is there any evidence that a certain other candidate for AG has donated to a certain Joe Biden?
Well, and this is where educating the public, mm-hmm. so you all and we can be informed voters. There is proof that in a Federal Election Commission report that there's a contribution in August of 2020 to the Biden for President campaign by my opponent, mm-hmm. and he first said someone stole his credit card.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and then like 3 months in, nobody was buying that. So all of a sudden, there's a letter that goes out that says his wife got mad at him.
Mm.
And she didn't go buy some shoes. She went and made a political contribution. And so he also donated to the Democrat who ran against Tom Coburn, our Republican senator. He donated to the Democrat who ran against Jim Bridenstine, the conservative in Tulsa, that
Jim.
Trump appointed to NASA as director of NASA. There are lots of Democrats that he gave money to. He also has received money. The same group of people, tribal politicians, mm-hmm. not the tribal members,
gotcha.
The tribal politicians,
yeah, sure.
And Democrats that gave Joy Hofmeister $72,000.
Mm.
Gave my opponent $74,000 against me.
Wow.
And so really I think what happened was he's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll notice that there's no Democrat who filed for attorney general, which is incredibly rare.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because the Democrats have a candidate in the Republican
they
primary.
Have one. Yeah,
right?
They have one. Yeah, it's exactly right.
And so that's a very clear indication of that strategy. And so I think what happened was he got beat last time by less than 300 votes, and the Indian Nation supported Mike Hunter who beat him. So I think he went around. He says, I met with 33 of the 39 tribes, like he's being a diplomat, but he was raising money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And so so now he's got their money, but I can guarantee you that what the tribes and Mr. Drummond want to do is replace the state's lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because then they won't have somebody standing up against them for the sovereignty of the eastern half of the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's obvious. Yeah.
And so that's that's really a huge difference between him and me. He said in one debate that sometimes he gives money to both sides because he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a businessman, too, for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And take my example of my hand in that $5. You know, I'm not going to give to the forces of the evil.
Yeah, amen.
Good for you.
Just to play business.
That's good.
You know, so.
That's good.
General, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes
as
we wrap up. But before I give you the floor to just express to our people and our listening audience whatever you would like to tell them.
Yeah.
Folks, these campaigns take money and take resources. And it's one thing to sit there and cheer for a team, and it's another thing to be actually invested in that team. You know, when you cheer for Oklahoma State and they lose, it hurts, but when Oklahoma State loses, you know, I've got blood and sweat on Lewis Field, and
right.
It really hurts deeper.
Right.
I would encourage, now this is not Pastor, you know, I've had it said, well, Pastor, do you make recommendations to your, do you tell your people how to vote? If I could tell them how to vote, I would, and you would too.
We try to tell them how to live, they don't listen to that
exactly.
Either.
Exactly. They don't listen. They listen to very little of what we say, actually. In fact, we tell them to be here on Wednesday nights, and only about a third listen to that. But so we can't tell them to do anything. We can certainly teach them a biblical worldview. We can teach them what truth is, make application to where we live today, our culture. The Bible is just as relevant today in 2022 as it was in 30 A.D.
Yep.
And I can say how I'm going to vote or who I support. Now, I wrote a check to support a gentleman today after an OPAC meeting. These guys, they need money to run these campaigns. So if you want to make a difference in the state of Oklahoma, I'd encourage you. General O'Connor, what is your campaign website?
Yeah, so it's O'ConnorForAG.com.
O'ConnorForAG.com.
Let me say this. O'Connor is all O's.
All.
So think of Oklahoma.
Okay.
There's no E at the end. It's all O's. Oklahoma, O'Connor.
O'Connor. Oh, we misspelled it. No, where did we get
that's
that?
That's right. You did that so I could point it out.
Okay, very good.
That's O instead of an E.
I can tell you I intended to do it already today, but it was a busy day, got away from me. But after we are done this evening, I am going to the website and making a donation. I'm going to ask every one of you, even if it's only $5. This is Paul, the citizen of the state of Oklahoma. This is not Pastor Paul officially speaking as Fairview Baptist Church, although I've heard that guy is really brilliant. Anyway, but I would encourage you to go to the website and donate $5, $10, $25, whatever you can, because it takes, you know, money is the lifeblood of politics, sadly.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've got too many people. Dan's going to introduce Todd Russ here in just a moment.
Okay.
But we've got too many people in the legislature and in Congress that shouldn't be there.
That's exactly right.
And one of the reasons that we have a conservative state like Oklahoma and we don't get as much accomplished for good as we would like to, are there are four or five power brokers that are in positions to make a difference. However, they are all vying to be the next one that breaks out of the pack. So when this governor's term limited, they might be the front runner. So they aren't willing to work together for the good of we, the people of Oklahoma. They all have campaign talk and are trying to position themselves to advance their political career. Because every one of them get up in the morning and they look in the mirror and the first thing they say is, "Good morning, Mr. President." And they envision themselves of working from city council to state representative to lieutenant governor to senator and then finally to the White House. As I said earlier, I think the greatest position one could hold, it would be the governor of the state of Oklahoma. I think second would be the attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Oklahoma. As far as defending the liberty of us as citizens, most important positions. So if you really want to make a difference, one, make sure you're registered to vote. Of course, maybe too late for that. Go vote on primary day. And if you can, help. Go to the campaign and help support and help make this happen. Now, General O'Connor, what would you like? You got 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you want it. We're going to wrap up here, but tell the people whatever you'd like to express.
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, when you go to the website, any amount of money is helpful, and because it invests you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also like to challenge you: don't just go and tell yourself you're going to vote. Be a person who will take five people with you.
Amen.
Or 10 or 20, right? This is the time. Remember, the last election for attorney general was decided by less than 300 votes on 500,000.
Mm.
Okay? So if you think your vote doesn't matter, you're wrong. If you think bringing two people with you doesn't matter, you're wrong. And so I also wanted to, we haven't really talked about the Second Amendment here, but I just for a second want to say that I'm honored to be the top-rated candidate by the NRA in this race, and also and also I've got the support of OK2A, which is our state Second Amendment group, right? So I've got their endorsement. I believe that the Second Amendment was designed to protect all the other amendments protect us. Not just, it wasn't primarily to be able to defend your home. It was primarily to be able to defend yourselves and ourselves and our families against tyrannical governments.
Amen.
That's exactly
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, as Pastor Paul said, the early founders, they believed they were forming the government, right? It was we the people in order to form a more perfect union, right? Mm-hmm. But it will serve us, not we will serve it.
That's right.
And so they wanted to keep those rights. And so I believe that the rights to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Mm-hmm. And that is what helps us preserve our First Amendment rights. Can you believe we live in an era in American history where, quote, being canceled is a phrase, or being silenced is a phrase? That's the First Amendment, folks. We've got to keep the Second Amendment in order to keep the First Amendment and the freedom to express our religion. I love going to our Republican county parties, and I'll tell you right now, the Republican women are going to rule. They're going to make the they're going to determine this election.
Yeah.
They're activated. They're mad. Mm-hmm. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired right there. And they're on fire. But at any rate, this Republican, when the Republicans get together, we can open in prayer unashamedly. We don't have to pray to the sun and the moon and the stars.
Amen.
And this bottle of water. So I love that. And I love being in Oklahoma, and I love being a part of keeping Oklahoma the freest state in the union.
Amen.
And keeping Oklahomans the freest people in the union. Yeah. Right? So I believe right now what's happening, Christians have been asleep at the wheel. Yeah. And we always thought, well, so-and-so's running for school board. She's probably a good person. Well, good person's not good enough, right? We've seen now what happens when you get somebody, the school board goes woke in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, one lady brought a picture that was obscene to me, and if it had been a photograph, it would have been legally obscene.
Yeah.
But it was a diagram, a drawing. And so so she took it then to a superintendent of a school, a big school in Oklahoma, and said, this is objectionable. And the superintendent said, well, it has literary value. It's in our public school library right now. And so we can't change New Jersey right now. We can't change California. We can't change New York. We need to work on our own surrender to Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
And then we need to take that part of our life which is lazy or inactive and convert it and activate it so that we're out there every day showing the love of Christ. Right?
Amen.
Sounds like I'm preaching.
Amen.
But the fact is, that's where it starts. In politics, I can fight the legal battles. You know, for me, it's an honor to be the tip of your spear and to be in the courtrooms and to have, you know, I've got 200 employees, 105 or so lawyers, civil rights, consumer protection, you know, all of these areas. And I can energize them, and they're a great group of people. But the real work is done outside of government, and it should be.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, I see America right now on a leaky canoe on a lazy river heading toward a waterfall. And I think, you know, I don't know what we can do to save Oklahoma, but I can tell you when President Trump got elected, it sent an electric shock of hope across this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we woke up and Biden got elected, we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? A guy gets elected from his basement. He can't even get 12 cars to honk if you love Joe.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right.
You know, and so anyway, I said yes because I'm not willing to hand this America off to my kids and my grandkids.
Mm, that's good.
$30+ trillion worth of debt that they could never pay. And the only way to get out of that is inflation, and then to make more people dependent on a government check, and then to gradually tell them we're going bankrupt. And so that does not predict well for us.
That's right.
We got to have free market principles, God-fearing people, and rights belonging to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to. I'm going to stiff arm Biden every time the federal government tries to encroach in the state of Oklahoma. But we've got to make Oklahoma the model, the city on a hill. We can't keep mediocrity in our business and our social security and our social issues. We can't have kids going to bed hungry. We can't have segments of our state that are high in government support checks. I'm not talking about retirement. I'm talking about poverty. We can't have the big drug problem. You know, if you've got extra time on your hand, don't buy a golf cart. Get, you know, come down and ask what you can do around here. Make sure your block, your neighborhood, your city, that you're working on these key factors. Jobs, better paychecks, the pride of owning a job. My dad was a machinist for the Frisco Railroad in Tulsa. He worked a night shift. Mom stayed at home to keep the kids out of prison. There were two girls. There were two girls and four boys. And Dad took a 2x4 to the roundhouse, sanded the corners, and cut a grip in it, and painted Board of Education. and so, you know, that's when I look at things, I look at things through the eyes of a blue-collar family. And the dignity of honest work and the self-respect that you gain from making ends meet. And that's way more of our Oklahomans than the other.
That's right.
And so we need to be respectful of that, but we need to have a shot of that dignity into these homes. And so I'm just asking you to say yes. Lucia and I said yes to the governor. We are, the governor and I are good friends. We disagree periodically, as you know, but we disagree respectfully. And I respect the fact that he has certain authorities that I don't have, and he respects the fact that I have certain authorities that he doesn't have. But we said yes, and I would ask each of you to say yes to making Oklahoma the state where we plant the flag and start the turnaround of America.
Amen.
So thank you very much for letting me be with
thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
We'll
pray over
thank you.
In a minute.
Okay. Thank you. Come on up here.
Yeah, we're going to pray over him here in a minute. Dan, can you imagine, Lucia? Can you imagine? There were so many things to talk about that in our church, we didn't even talk about the Second Amendment.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, our church is kind of like an old Dodge City saloon. Just about everybody in here is carrying a couple shooting irons, I'm sure. But anyway, thank you, General O'Connor, for your stand.
We ought to pray for them. Why don't you lead a prayer?
Yeah, okay. And then you want to introduce Todd first?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's
pray over these. Running a campaign is grueling. It's harder on the wife than it is on the individual. And as Dan ran a statewide campaign before, and I just ran locally, I promise you, it's exhausting on the individual. So let's pray for God to bless them, strengthen them, and protect them. So let's bow together. Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings that we just take for granted. Of course, our Father, we thank you first and foremost for your undeserved, the love that we don't deserve that you have given to us anyway. Yes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to step into your creation as a man, a perfect man, to succeed where we have fallen, to be sinless. And then as the Lamb of God, to take the sin of your creation on your own shoulders and pay the penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the resurrection. The fact that the debt for sin was paid in full. You were raised to demonstrate our justification and to prove that you are, in fact, the Lord. And by bending our knee and crying out to you, trusting in your finished work, we all can be born again and know heaven as our home. And Lord, on top of that, well, no, not on top of that. There's nothing on top of that. But Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we have of living here in Oklahoma. For some reason, Lord God, in your sovereignty, we were born in the late 1900s, early 2000s, and here we are in 2022 living in the greatest country that ever has existed, living here as citizens of the state of Oklahoma, and having the opportunity to celebrate and defend and secure our liberty and pass it on to our children and grandchildren. Lord, we thank you for men like John and his wife, Lucia.
Yes.
We thank you for their love of you, their surrender to you, Lord, their willingness to serve even at this stage. Lord, I thank you that Governor Stitt had the wisdom to call on John and ask him to serve in this mm-hmm. capacity. Mm-hmm. I thank you that you've brought us together and we have gotten to become his friend and her friend. Mm. Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around them and their family, around their campaign. Mm-hmm. Lord God, we pray that truth and righteousness would be brought to light, yes. and you would be exalted. Yes. Lord, we pray that the lies of the devil would be exposed as just that. Yes. And God, we pray for your mercy and grace on us as a people. Mm-hmm. The scripture says in Proverbs, when the righteous are in authority, the people celebrate. When the wicked rule, the people groan and mm-hmm. mourn. Yes. Lord God, thank you for giving us this reprieve in this part of the country. God, bless their campaign. Bless yes, them. Give them wisdom day by day. And Lord, give them the voice to let that wisdom be sounded to the people. Yes. Lord, I pray that we the people, especially these that claim to fear you and revere you and love you, that we would not sit on our blessed assurances, that we would get our friends and get out and cast our votes. And Lord, we pray for your mercy. Mm-hmm. We pray for this man's re-election in the primary. And Lord, ultimately his pre-election, his re-election to serve us in this capacity mm-hmm. as Attorney General of the great state of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Lord, as John said earlier, we're supposed to do everything for the glory of God. And I pray that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would equip us and enable us to actually live that out. Yes. Lord, bless this couple. Bless this church. Bless these people that are here. Bless these that are watching. And bless this great state of Oklahoma. And bless these United States of America. Father God, we pray this in the name of your precious, sinless, perfect Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
One more time, let's thank Attorney General Connor for being here.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Sure. Oh, yeah, Mom. Yeah. Okay. I just want to say, you've got Todd Russ coming up. Sorry.
Yeah.
Todd's an incredible man. And he's a godly man.
Yep.
And so we're honored that he's here.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Dan,
I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
All right. Well, be seated for just a second. We're almost finished. But campaign signs. What about campaign signs? They're asking.
GOP office at...
We've got some here. We've got a few in here. Listen,
we got some over there. There's okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay.
So thank you, and the Oklahoma GOP office on Lincoln.
Let me also ditto what Paul said, man. As a citizen of Oklahoma, could you have a better attorney general than this guy?
Amen.
And a wife like this, and so hey, they have my support completely. Okay, well, before we go, I have a wonderful opportunity to introduce someone to you who is kind of a longtime friend. Todd and I met actually in the legislature. Todd Russ is from Cordell, right? And Todd has served. Todd, did you serve all 12 years? You wrapped up an entire... Well, you were there longer than that because term limits came after you were elected. But anyway, I had the privilege of serving. So, Todd, why don't you come on up here? This is Todd Russ. I served with Todd in the legislature. Yeah, give him a welcome. That's great. And Todd is campaigning for state treasurer now. And I can tell you, having known Todd, he is a tremendous friend. As I said, he's a man of integrity. He knows the Lord and was just a great friend to me in the legislature and kind of helped a stumbling freshman at least find where the men's restrooms were and just find his way around the building. And he's just been a great friend, and he has fought a lot of battles for us. And so he's running for state treasurer, and Paul and I both know Todd. And we visited with him, yesterday or the day before, and we told him what we were doing tonight. And we said, hey, if you would have an opportunity to come over, we'd love to just introduce you to the crowd, give you a couple of minutes to kind of share who you are and what you're doing, why you're running. And he said, well, I'm going to be in Tulsa, but I'll try my very best to make it back. He did so. And so I have the privilege of introducing to you Todd Russ, who has been a state rep for 13 years. Is that what you said? And is now running for state treasurer. And so, Todd, we want to give you this microphone. Take a few minutes.
Got about three
minutes. Let the folks know who you are and why you're running and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Thank you, guys. And, yeah, it was an honor serving with this guy. I got to tell you, I know he was such an inspiration to me. It's kind of nice to, you come in and I told my wife several times I felt like Elijah in the cave. It's like, man, I stand up for these things and I think all my friends around me will and nobody will. And Dan comes in and we agree on things and he actually voted that way.
Yeah.
That was the difference. They'd say they agreed on it, but they didn't vote that way. And it's like, wow, that was so. But anyway, I'm Todd Russ, and I'm running for state treasurer. That is a statewide elected official's position, and what makes that kind of political is it's the executive cabinet position with the governor. And I thought about what General Connor was saying about he said no, and you know I pulled out at the age of about 48. I could have been done, and God said no, you're not. Here's a door that's open. You walk through this door. And ended up in the legislature, and I've been there. I've been trying to get out for 6 years, and I'm on 13. So anyway, and so I am going to be out at the end of this year because I will term out. And I thought, man, I told Christy, I said, sweetie, I think I'm fixing to get to come home. And by the way, my wonderful wife, my high school sweetheart, been married for 38 years to her. I tell you, you think it's hard? Yeah, I tell you what. You think it's hard on us as the legislators and the elected officials. I'm telling you, your family is the one that just takes a beating because we can get up and we get to say all kinds of things. They have to sit back and watch it and they want to get in there and really get after it. But, anyway, I never saw this coming. The state treasurer should not have been open, but it was like God said, Todd, that door is open and you got to go through it. And so I didn't clear out my office. I said, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. And if it works out, I'll just box up stuff and move it down to the second floor from the fourth floor. And we hope that works. But more than anything, I want to be in God's will. I want to look like Christ wherever I go. I tell people, you know, I was raised in a wonderful Christian home. And, I had an opponent one time, and they asked him to town forum. They said, well, you know, we know you have a Christian background. And you went to a private Christian college, and Mr. Russ, you have credentials of ministry, and how will you separate that from your decisions you make in the government, and not, you know, the separation of, you know, what the Constitution says? And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you're kind of going wonky on me here. So my opponent said, well, you know, I totally understand what you're saying, and yeah, I'm really careful. My personal convictions are just my personal convictions, and I'm very careful to keep those from out of, you know, my decisions politically for the people of the state of Oklahoma. That's just a personal thing for me. And I'm thinking, man, I think I misunderstood that question. I'm thinking, I don't know that he or one misunderstood. So they handed me the microphone. I said, man, I said, you may have the wrong guy, because if I understood your question correctly, every breath I take, every decision that I make, I want to be led by God's Holy Spirit and the Word that He has given us. And, I appreciate that hand clap because that guy beat me. Honest to goodness, that guy beat me. It was like a 0.5%, but God didn't tell me to get out of the arena. He said, you just get back in there. And, that's kind of what's happened here. We've got a governor that professes Christ, lives Christ, calls on Christ's help, people around him. And I told Christy, I said, this is the guy I want to be an executive cabinet person for, not because of the political parts of it, because if we don't have godly people that step into these gaps and fill the gaps in the hedges, then we're going to get the other people that I was telling you about. So that's the call on my heart. But I will tell you, God told me this. God didn't tell me this. I had a friend come to him when that guy beat me, the first race I was in. They said, well, you know, I really hate. Matter of fact, that friend confessed to me they'd failed to vote for me, and I lost by 0.5%. And I wanted to kick them in the shin. It was like, man, that's where the church has got to get involved, because this was a church friend of mine. They got to get involved, or these things are the outcomes that happen. And they said, well, they kind of walk on and said, well, it just wasn't God's will for you to be in there, you know. And I thought, wait a minute. God never told me I was going to win that. God has never told me, Todd, I'm going to do this thing and you're going to win it because I'm going to make it happen. And just like the children of Israel, when they were wanting to have a king, and they said, oh, God, we want to have a king. And God said, look, you don't want to have a king, I'm telling you. Don't choose a king. And they said, oh, yeah, but that's the cool thing right now. Every country, every nation's getting a king right now. And he said, look, I'm telling you, don't have a king, but if you want a king, you get a king. That's what he's saying for us. I'm telling you, pick godly people. You know, check them out. See what their credentials are like. See what their lifestyles, what their professions are, and make that choice for yourself. God's not going to force us to do that. And, you know, that's kind of part of the...
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Well,
thank
yeah,
you so much.
And
y'all.
Let me just
appreciate
say to you, obviously you can see that this guy's the real deal. He actually helped me and helped introduce the whole Black Robe Regiment ministry to the Oklahoma Assemblies of God.
Amen. Amen.
So he was very, very instrumental in my being involved with Frank Cargill, who was the head guy among the Assemblies of God in Oklahoma, and getting to know him and getting me in things. So Todd is a good friend, and he walks his faith.
Amen.
And so we wanted you to meet him. Yeah. And once again, as a citizen of this state, not necessarily as one of your pastors, I'm telling you, I support Todd. I encourage you to do the same thing. He's going to probably stick around for a few minutes when we dismiss here. And if you want to meet him, visit with him. I know he would love to meet you, but he's running for state treasurer. And Todd Russ is the guy.
Okay. We'll close this here in a minute, if you would,
okay.
Pastor Dan.
Sure,
but I got just two things I want to say. First of all, is there a website if one wanted to perhaps find out more about you and maybe contribute? Where would they go?
Absolutely. Todd Russ for statetreasurer.com. Todd Russ for
State. Now, let me ask you, let me make sure I've got this right, and I may need your help. I'm going to have to decide to either vote for you or Clark Jolly.
Amen. That's right.
Wow.
You heard it.
That's going to be a tough one for me. No.
Do you have past history with
Mr.
Jolly?
I wouldn't vote for Clark Jolly if he's the only one on the ballot, but I'd vote none of the above. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. And Dan, would you sign off?
I would be honored to. So again, O'Connors, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing for us.
And they'll
state.
Be around to shake hands for
okay.
you as well.
Great. So fantastic. And Todd, man. It's good to call you a friend. God bless you, man. I pray for you. Well, let's pray. Thank you all for coming out here tonight on a Wednesday night. You've been a great crowd. Thank you so much. I think this was well worth our while. So let's stand together. We'll pray, and then we'll be out of here, okay? Father, thank you so much for the privilege of meeting together with your people. Thank you, Lord, for people like John and Lucia O'Connor who will stand up and do the difficult thing. And thank you for good friends like Todd Russ, who also, he and Christy, have stood in the gap for a long, long time. They've not only been friends to me, but they have stood for what is right. And now, Lord, he is stepping up into a new challenge, and I pray your blessings on him. Father, we need men and women like these in government. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will help them, be with them, and now help us to do what we ought to do, and that's to support people like this. So, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this church. Lord, we just pray your blessings on this congregation. Help us to be faithful, Father. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thank you so much.